Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called Crown of Teeth. This is written by Tobias Wade and is a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights. Links to this book will be in the description of this video and episode if you'd care to check it out and purchase yourself a copy. But anyway, I hope you enjoy it. Let's get started. Of the three of us who sought out King Auden's grave, I'm the last still able to share what we found. I don't blame Lewis for telling us about the burial mound. He was only repeating what his father had told him, and his father before him, a family legend that stretched back into the early days of Celtic lore. Buried treasure isn't a thing, I'd argue with him. How long has this guy been dead? Almost 2,000 years. Auden died fighting the Romans, and they couldn't take his treasure with them when they fled to Scotland. It was buried with him to keep it from being stolen. I wouldn't have taken such whimsical thinking seriously from anyone else. Lewis was a shrewd man, though immaculate and calculating in the extreme. He organized his day into half-hour increments, and kept a journal so precise that it never missed what he had for breakfast, or how his digestion fared in the afternoon. I suppose it could have been a trait that ran in the family, but I still didn't believe they had record of his secret treasure. Surely someone would have found it by now. The Romans didn't know, Lewis insisted, his beady eyes shining behind his spectacles. Looked intently on my face, even as I tried to evade them. There was no written record, and Auden's ancestors before me never spoke of it to outsiders. But there were hints of the secret hidden within engravings, and I have traced the location exactly. My brother Sean will be there with his truck, but we need you to borrow the excavator from work. One night is all we need. You'll have it back before anyone notices the next day, assuming you ever want to work again after the riches we've split fairly. It was an adventure and camaraderie more than greed that motivated me. Lewis had been there for me many times before, and it was no great hardship for me to bring the excavator half an hour down the road. Sean was a boisterous fellow who drank and laughed while I went to work at the hillside. He would have played music too if Lewis hadn't forced him to be quieter. It felt more like hanging out with friends than grave robbing, at least until the head of the excavator hit the carved stone. I had to get out and run my hands over it, unable to believe the ancient ruins chiseled deep within the hill.
"Don't stop now,"
Lewis insisted, ushering me back inside the vehicle.
"In and out, no time to waste. Under grass and under stone, Baylor sits upon his throne."
"I thought his name was Auden," I asked.
Lewis waved his hands dismissively through the air.
"Just the demon who guards the dead, mystical mumbo-jumbo."
"Oh, no," Sean complained, red in the face and stumbling as he came up to join us.
"Oh, no, no, nobody said anything about no."
"That's enough from you," Lewis snatched the bottle of ale from his brother's hand.
"You can buy the whole pub when we're finished. Come on, we've never been so close."
I thought it was a shame to crack the beautifully engraved stone with my excavator, but Lewis insisted there was no other way. He had already been more right than I could have expected, so I didn't hesitate to smash the thing and clear the broken shards. I wasn't expecting a palace or anything. A few golden trinkets would have been cool enough for me. 5 feet, 10 feet past the engraved stone, and not even so much as a body. Sure, maybe there were a few old bones that were turned to dust by the excavator, but gold doesn't rot, and there was no sign of anything like the magnitude of treasure Lewis described.
"Someone must have already gotten to it," I complained.
The horizon was starting to glow, and it was almost morning. Sean had long since fallen asleep in the back of his truck, while Lewis was still on his hands and knees with a flashlight, sifting through the piles of dirt.
"They couldn't have. Not without disturbing the burial stone. We'll try again tomorrow,"
Lewis conceded at last.
"I plan on sleeping tomorrow," I countered.
"It was fun, boys, but I don't think..."
I was interrupted by Sean's sudden yelp as he sat bolt upright in the back of his truck. His hands were clutched around his head as though he'd been struck.
"Well, what did you expect drinking half the night?" Lewis snapped. "Lot of help you were." "Get it off! Get it off!"
Sean cried, tumbling out of the truck to roll on the ground in agony. We were at his side in a moment, and by the early morning light we saw a strange and macabre crown tightly fastened around his head. The circle was made by a double layer of teeth knitted together, with twisted gold wires like braces. The teeth were pointed inward so as to bite into Sean's skin, which was bruised and glistening with blood from the pressure.
"How did you get the damn thing on in the first place?"
Lewis complained as we tried to pry it off.
"I didn't,"
Sean swore.
Woke up like this. Ow, 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 careful now.
Damn fool, must have found it while he was drinking and forgot, Lewis grumbled.
Come on now, I've got this side. Give it a good pull, we got it.
Ow, stop.
Sean protested, bucking violently against our effort. He lashed out wildly in his pain, lurching back against the side of his truck. The tremendous impact lifted two wheels off the ground before the car slammed back into place. We all stared in disbelief as Sean staggered to his feet. Then carefully, curiously, as though forgetting his pain, Sean stooped to try and lift the vehicle again. With a grunt of effort, he lifted the front half of the truck all the way up to his waist before letting it drop back to the ground with a crash.
Blimey! Lewis gasped.
Sean's eyes were wide and terrified. Without a word, he reached up to the crown with both hands, trying to rip the thing from his head. His teeth clenched from the effort and pain, and blood began to pour freely down the sides of his face, where the teeth bit into the flesh. Then, with a dreadful scream, he ripped the crown clean off, blood splattering around him in all directions. The entire scalp of his head peeled off with it, everything above the line around his temple where the crown had rested. Howling in agony, Sean tumbled to the ground where he was still. Lewis knelt beside his brother, but I didn't dare approach the grisly sight. Lewis stood after a long pause, whispering the word, dead.
Lewis,
what are you waiting for? He snapped at me, beady eyes glistening with anger and fear. Put the body in the hole and put some dirt over it. We'll talk about this later.
What about the crown? I asked.
The crown was nowhere to be seen, though. I know Sean was filled with some sort of inhumane strength in his frenzy, but it hadn't looked like he'd thrown the thing that far at the time. Lewis searched the entire hillside, while I filled the dirt back in the hole, and there was no sign of the cursed object.
Tomorrow. Talk tomorrow. We could both use some sleep,
is all Lewis would say when I tried to talk to him. Needed or not, I couldn't sleep at all despite tossing and turning for a few hours. I kept messaging Lewis until around midday when he agreed to meet. Not in public, though. He wanted to meet outside of town toward the hillside where we'd been digging. He didn't speak when he got out of his car. We didn't have to. The pain on his bleary face was more than the anguish of loss. It stemmed, too, from the crown of teeth biting into his temple.
Lewis, you didn't,
I said at last.
No,
I didn't. He shook his head, giving me a wan smile.
I got a few hours of sleep and found it like this when I woke up.
The teeth weren't as deeply embedded in his skin as they were in Sean, however. It was a light imprint where they pressed into him, without any bruising or blood. I reached forward to see if I could help get it off, but Lewis swatted my hand away. The small motion felt like a sledgehammer and almost knocked me to the ground. In confirmation, he stooped down to his car, easily hoisting it off the ground with one hand.
I don't need your help, he told me coldly. I'm not going to take it off. My brother died so I could have this, and I'm not going to let that be for nothing.
Why did you want to meet me then? I asked.
We had a deal, you and I. Split the treasure? And I'm a man of my word. I wanted you to see for yourself that it's safe now, and to promise you that you can have your turn when I'm done with it.
I shook my head, backing up toward my own car.
I don't want it. I don't want anything from you. You can keep it.
It doesn't matter what you want, he growled.
When I fall asleep, I had a dream about a monster, and in its mouth were a ring of teeth, just like the ones around my head. It had its jaws around me, and it was biting down, tightening real slow-like. Its body was wrapped around me, its hands over my hands, its legs entwined with mine. I think that's what's giving me the strength, and I don't want to give that up, even if I could.
I'm never putting that thing on, I swore.
It's getting tighter, Lewis moaned. I don't know how long I have, but sooner or later it's going to be too much for me to bear. Sooner or later, Baylor is going to eat me. And then, I think it's going to be your turn. I just wanted to warn you, that's all.
And with that, Lewis climbed back into his car and drove away. I haven't tried to contact him since. I frantically check my head every time I wake up, but it's been a few weeks and the crown hasn't appeared yet. With any luck, he'll wear it forever and it will never be my turn. But I've started to have dreams about that monster, always behind me, turning with me as though it were my shadow. In those dreams, I can feel the ring of teeth looming so close behind my head, watching me, poised to crown me king. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know below in the comments or wherever you can. Maybe like the video or episode. If you'd like to, join the Patreon to support the channel even more. But hey, it's not mandatory, obviously. This is a free world. You can come and go as you please, and you don't even have to listen or watch this. But I appreciate you if you are a patron. And if you'd like to, join our Discord. It's pretty chill. You can come and go. No harm, no foul. But I just hope you enjoyed this story, and happy spooky season at time of recording. And I will see you in the next one.